Welcome back to
the Cosmetic Queens podcast.
The
Stab and Jab.
So we're Beauty Meets Brains and we have no boundaries usually, but we're developing them. Yes. And bold conversations are going to be had. Ooh. And today we are joined by two incredible guests who bring both heart and expertise to their fields and the lives of others. So first up is someone who has played a huge role in my personal journey, Miss Deanna Biley. Thank you for joining us. We really, really appreciate that you're here.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. And she isn't just a powerhouse professionally. She is actually one of the few friends in my life who has consistently encouraged me to grow as a human. So personal growth that she has witnessed, it's chaotic, okay? But it's there, so that's the good news. She calls me out when I need it. She helps me establish healthy boundaries. She was the first one that said, what's going to happen if you don't go to that? Because I was like, I really don't want to go. She's like, why are you going to go then? I'm like, oh, good question. I'm like, well, and she's like, yeah, you don't have a good reason. She's like, just say no. And she's like, and I'm like, well, they might be mad. She's like, okay, then they're not your friends. I'm like, anyway.
I feel like I need a D in my life.
Here she is.
100%.
Yeah. I need a person okay. Like that.
So we call before Jenna, BJ.
BJ.
Before Stacy, BS. So I would say, wouldn't you say that I kind of like awakened you from your, what do you call it?
Before Deanna would be BD. Just had to put it
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Yes. I was kind of like zombie. Like
zombie.
Like going through the flow of things.
Yeah, and when you met me, you kind of were like, I got my spark back.
Right.
Like you helped me.
My colors, my glitter.
It's really nice when you say that.
Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
Yeah.
This is my Jenna.
Mm.
Like I'm Jenna. I'm you.
Okay.
This is my Stacy.
That's your Stacy.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
I'm like, wait, that's wrong. It's been a long day, guys. Any of you who saw us today, sorry about it. So basically, she's been one of the first people I turn to when I face any major life decisions. At one point, she was in charge of all my life decisions. I said, I can't be in charge of my life decisions anymore. It's going to be vetted by you because I make very bad decisions. And she was like, I'll help you. And her wisdom, loyalty, and honesty have made like a huge lasting impact on who I am today. And I am beyond happy to share her and all of her knowledge and her point of view. And she really makes me think. She's going to make you think. And she's just a delight. So you're really lucky to be hearing from
Very
her.
Very lucky.
And then over here,
drum roll,
in pink, thank you so much
I
for
did.
Wearing
I
that today. That is fabulous. We're also joined by the brilliant Dr. Ali Khan. Did
Thank
I say
you.
It correctly?
Because
I spelled
it
wrong a couple times.
Beautiful.
Sorry about that. A respected leader.
Wait,
in the
can I say this?
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show. I've always wanted to say that.
Well, we really appreciate that you're here with us and spending your time with us.
I just fulfilled like a bucket list item there.
Oh my God. Cross it out.
Yeah.
Do you want to say it again?
Sure.
We really appreciate having you here today, Dr. Khan.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Again, I love it. Thanks so much for joining us, taking time out of your busy schedule to be here today, Dr. Khan.
Well, thank you for having me on the show.
Nailed it.
Uh-huh. Okay, so he is a respected leader in the medical field, someone whose insight and experience are helping shape the future of medicine. He brings not just clinical knowledge, but also the kind of integrity and innovation that aligns perfectly with everything that we stand for in our practice and life itself.
In general.
I like met this guy and I got to tell you a little story of that. I literally was like, I get weird around like doctors still. I don't know if you do this. Like, but
yeah,
we have
I'm
so
always
many.
Weird. Okay. But yeah.
But we have so many that are friends now, but like still to me, like
It's a doctor.
Like you deserve the utmost respect. Like I'm not going to call you. We're not friends, even though a lot of our friends are doctors now, right? But like, this is like a weird twist for me still. And so he was like, if you need anything at all, and somehow I got his number because I needed something for Patty or something from Mackenzie or wanted to vet them for something, you know, let's collaborate, you know? And all of a sudden, all these things started like happening, like pretty rapid fire. Like my mom ended up having like a huge brain aneurysm.
Right.
My mom also had this like cyst on her thyroid. and was having trouble swallowing. She had just switched to your practice. And somebody else, one of my friends in Utica, her son got injured and ruptured his spleen.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm, like, texting this poor guy. He has no idea who I am, really. And I'm like, it's me. I'm so sorry. But who do you know here? And
well, we had met at that point.
Yeah, but, like, you don't know me. Like, you didn't know that I'm a handful yet.
I did not know that.
Yeah. And, I'm like, Chelsea goes, reach out to the docs, right? And I'm like, I don't know if I want to, like, you know, because there's boundaries.
It was a weekend.
We try to do our boundaries, and we're not good at it. Today I hear Jenna go, you can text me on my personal phone. I go, no.
She's in the next room with the door closed next door. And I go, somehow not she your heard it. Phone. She's like, important here.
We're trying to set boundaries. So anyway, I'm texting you on off hours on the weekend without knowing me from Jack, really. Mm-hmm. And you help me. Not only did you help me, but you helped the patient. You put the family at ease. And, like, I really, truly appreciate that. But also, going above and beyond, like, I feel like medicine is, we've talked about this multiple times. There's a lot of doctors who are extremely competent. They absolutely have no compassion and no bedside manner. They're super smart, but they just, like, I don't know. The communication is, like, lost, right? Or they've been burnt so many times that they've shut down and they don't have any heart. And then you have the really compassionate, great doctors who, like, are the nicest, kindest people. And I'm like, wow, you need to go back to med school or just crack a book once in a while. That is not how we do things. But, like, you're so nice, right? But it's rare to find somebody who's competent and compassionate. So kudos to you.
So fun fact, actually, is, like, just for any job or anything, they ask you, like, why did you go into this? Why do you want to become a doctor? My reason, dead serious, was to help my friends and family. Mm. That's it. That's my motivation for everything. So what you might view as an inconvenience when you're texting me is actually my privilege and pleasure.
Okay, mic drop, but this like costs more than my life, so no, I'm not going to drop it.
He didn't even write that on a note.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's good.
Also, another fun fact. I found when Deanna and I first met this morning. Do you know the date? I was going to try to get like hours, minutes, seconds that we've known each other.
No.
April 23rd, 2017 at 3:33 p.m.
Who texts who first?
So, well, this is the message with Akshay.
Okay.
Thank you, by the way, Akshay, if you're listening. Congratulations on the wedding. So he said, you're welcome. I actually think you will both get along really well. Surprised you haven't met before, which we were shocked by that because our circles run pretty like intertwined. Yeah. And I said, this is amazing. Thanks so much. No problem at all. She just texted me and I thought of you when she was asking me about apartment stuff. Happy to help out. Hope it works out for you guys. I said, you're the best. Come to dinner later. And then I don't know who texted each other first, but I'll report back.
I think it was a Facebook message.
Oh, you didn't check the Facebook.
Weird. Yeah. But then we went for a walk with our little dogs, and I was like, one, this girl's like super smart. She's super pretty. She's super amazing, and she wants to be my roommate. Like, a score. And then by week two, she had me drinking aloe and bee pollen, and I was working out and doing things I've never done before and having good cries in the hallway. I'm like, I don't know.
It sounds great. Like
my world was rocked. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's
need a girls trip.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Sorry.
Let's dive in. I'm
excluded here.
Because I'm sure this episode is going to be packed with many gems and pure gold.
Pure gold.
You can take that off at any time. I know you sweat a little. So we've done the introductions. Why don't you just give us a quick tidbit of what you do, who you are, why you're here.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so my name, like you said, was Deanna Biley. I am a almost 39-year-old female.
Whoop, whoop. She doesn't look it.
And I live in Syracuse. I'm actually not from here, though. I've only lived here for about 12 years. I come from outside of Boston, and I've actually lived kind of all over the country. Went to college in Florida, lived in California for a little bit. And have made Syracuse my home. I got recruited by the hospital here, so that's SUNY Upstate Medical University, and I've worked for them for 12 years now. Kind of done a lot of different things and made my way up through many facets of healthcare, from patient care to a lot of quality and IT management, all of the above. So
she's done it all. One day she was like, well, and I just have to go check on my garlic farm. And I'm like, I go, what? She goes, oh yeah. Yeah. I didn't tell you that yet. I go, is there anything you don't do? Like, garlic farm was not on my list for you. Like, she does it all, guys. Yeah. Does it all. Great mom, great wife, great friend, garlic farmer.
Food is medicine. Yeah, it all ties together.
It's very true.
Chicken mom, garlic mom.
It's garlic mom. Hi, babies.
Well, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Who are you?
And I am Dr. Ali Khan. I came up here. I was also like Dee. I'm not from the area. I was born in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Grew up in Long Island. Spent some time in California.
Long Island?
The accent?
No, but like Long Island.
She was doing the accent for you.
Oh, no, I wasn't sure if it
Long Island
came out.
Not Long Island. It's Long Island. So my sister and I, we made sure that we never picked up the accent because we thought it was obnoxious. But I grew up there. And then finished my residency, came up here almost about the same time, 13 years ago, was hired by Upstate.
How, like, maybe that was, like, the universe's way of, like, drawing all these good people into
crazy
my life. And they're like, Stacey's stuck here.
Winner. Life, so
we're just going to draw all these people in.
It's all about you.
Thank you for finally realizing this, guys.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've been working 4 years ago, made the switch to Family Care Medical Group, been working as a hybrid hospitalist and full-time in the practice as well with my colleagues. And I, too, have made Syracuse home.
I love that so much. Well, thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, guys, let's get in from beat up to Botox, our glow up origin stories, okay? So, first... This is hilarious. So Deanna kind of like broke my aesthetics cherry, if you would say.
Right? Like, very sexual.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I was getting some Botox from my gynecologist because, I mean, that's where you go when you don't know where to look. I mean, she did a great job and I love her. Shout out to Maria. Like,
love you, Maria.
I passed out in her chair. I did everything wrong. I just was a disaster. Pretty standard.
But you looked great.
Totally. But
wait, did you pass out during this Botox session?
100%.
Nice.
100%. Yeah.
You have a lot to learn about, Stacey. Yeah,
we could actually talk about that quickly if you'd like.
Sure.
So my blood belongs in my body.
It does.
And I can help you with anything. I can have my hands right in your guts, be running bowel, mm-hmm. can do all the things. I'm fine with broken bones. I'm fine with pretty much anything. I flicked metal out of eyes before. Nope. I've done like some weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Amputated limbs, like sutured things, fine.
No.
If it happens to me, I need to know why and what's happening or I like panic, right? So if you like, for instance, an eye doctor may or may not have looked in my eye once and said, oh, that's really rare.
Like, done.
Cancer, bye. Done.
Passed out.
Woke up, like, literally looked like, what? I'm like, I'm sorry, is your machine okay? Like, I know how expensive those are. He's like, what happened? I'm like, hey, man, you can't preface stuff like that. Like, you got to keep that to yourself. Like, what's really rare? Like, is my eye going to fall out? Like, what's happening?
Wait, does this, like, happen during dates, too? Like, if a guy's like, I've never met anyone like you before, you just, like, pass out?
Good question.
Oh, I don't go on dates, so that's not a problem. Hashtag single, hit me up, boys. yeah, no, that hasn't happened. But anything weird.
But
like
now it will.
If somebody starts telling a story, like Deanna has like a really crazy story with like internal stuff. And she starts telling me and I'm like, oh, if that was me, like... And then I just like my butt puckers up, like it's actually like a nerve I think that like twinges,
and then you're done.
Mm-hmm. Get really hot. I'm like, this is gonna go badly. So anything that's like different for me that I don't know like what to experience. So like my very first fainting episode was they had put me on birth control back in high school. And my mom was the coolest mom. Like we would go to the doctors and
still is.
Still is. 100%. Trilip, Tom, and Ultra Pulse Patty yes. are like the bee's knees. Yeah. But she would take me out to dinner or lunch or not dinner, lunch. I was out of school. She's yeah. like, do you want to, I'll feed you. I'm like, oh yeah, I missed lunch, even if I didn't. Sorry, Patty. But I didn't want to go back to school. I was bored there. And honestly, like, I just would rather have Brooklyn Pickle with Patty than yum. Go back to the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. So we were sitting there. I open up my birth control. I have to read it all. I start reading. This can cause DVTs, blood clots, death. I'm like, I already took it. I already ate it. It's in me. This is the end of me.
I ate my pill.
I ate the pill. So I said to my mom, she goes, are you okay? I go, no, I got to get some air. I start walking across Brooklyn Pickle. And here's me walking across. And then all of a sudden.
You rolled done. Like that? Wow.
I fell, rolled, hit my head on a Brooklyn Pickle table. And then woke up and everybody was around me. My mom's like, what happened? I'm like, I already took it. Like, and it was such a small pill that I didn't think if I threw up that it would come out. And like, I'm going to die now.
What She's was like, in that roast beef?
So for the longest time, I used to give the packets to my parents with any side effects. Because if I read the side effects, I was going to get the side effect. Hypochondriac. PA school. I'm like, oh, only 3% of the population has that? I definitely have that. Sweating? Yep. Eyebrows that like thin on the side. Yeah, that's me. Like 100% hypochondriac and went into medicine. Dumbass. Back to the Botox. I'm fainting, doing all these things. But that was really like the only thing I had kind of done at that point. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of lip filler at one point with a dermatologist. But Deanna had like Deanna's research is like, you think my research is crazy? Your research
no,
is crazy.
No, I've heard Deanna's her. I've heard her talking.
Like, I just don't even bother anymore. I'm like, hey, have you researched this? Because it's going to save me time. And honestly, like, she's one of the only ones that I can like truly trust. I'm like, before she used to be like, well, who funded that study? And who? And I'm like, oh, yes, I like her.
Dude, so, it's the worst. You can't even argue with her.
Because then I'm like, it's fact, yeah. Right? That's right? Like, mm-hmm. Yeah. So thanks for saving me all the time.
You're welcome.
She's already done it, the hard work, so I don't have to. So she was like, listen, I think I'm going to go out of the country for injections. Do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, sure.
Let's how did talk you about find? It. How did you find this? Like, how did you, yeah. What made you want to do that? Why did you decide?
So I came from like the most amazing places in the United States, right? You have access to like the best people in Boston and LA yeah. and Miami, right? And
yeah.
then I came to Syracuse and I'm like, who am I going to let touch me
I
in
mean, the cosmetic
Syracuse?
Queens weren't there yet. No, it's a sorry about it.
Oh.
Cosmetic queens. I was just dipping my toe into the aesthetics world at that time.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That? Yeah, this I was working. ES and BJ, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and I was working. Yes, and then just a tiny bit before BD, I was only working at the hospital, remember, yeah. as a surgical PA.
Yep. Yep.
And I had just started doing some per diem work with a surgical practice, a plastics practice. And then I had just accepted a position at a little med spa. Mm-hmm. And I did not know what I was doing. And I dropped both of our smiles. That was fun. Remember that?
Yep.
Smile. I am.
3 months of pictures that reminded me of that.
And then it happened to me again right before Deanna's wedding. And she's like, smile for the picture. I'm like, I look like I stroked out in all of Deanna's photos. I'm like, can you just like facetune those? I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
So yeah. So I so, victimized you.
Yeah. But it was social media, right? Like that was like the raw time of Instagram. Like mm-hmm. people would just post like mm-hmm. unedited on everything. Yeah. You know, but one of the biggest cosmetic practices was overseas. And they were posting like before and afters and all of their work. And yeah. it was like
jazzy.
Yeah.
Where was good. This?
Can we say?
Yeah, you can say. This. Yeah, you can say.
Yeah. So we went to the UK.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And we found out after that the criteria for medical providers there is not the same as here.
But we found out while we were there.
Oh, God. I just did something. Friends, did I break it? Oh.
Oh, now you are. back in business.
We're okay.
Wait, like lesser standards or better standards?
Oh, no, no. Yes. She was basically like the equivalent of like maybe a mid-level provider, like a nurse practitioner, PA.
Was she?
Not really.
No. No.
No. We like looked it up and we were like afterwards because I was like, you know, like.
It was like a medical assistant.
No.
Literally.
And but she was okay.
We loved her.
It's fine.
She was beautiful. Listen. God, she was so pretty. But I like left there. And at one point, Deanna and I, because we like had our list and we had done our research and we had saved our pennies and we, it was cheaper for
that was
us
the
to
thing.
Fly over yeah. there, get the treatments there. Well,
I come to Stacey with like my
cheaper is not better. I'm going to say this again. Do not Groupon your face.
Yeah. Okay? Don't.
But,
it's
and
like
I mean,
going overseas for a Taylor Swift concert.
Yeah.
You know?
Same thing.
I mean, cheaper. I would do that. And that sounds like legitimate and nothing's going to be permanent on your face. But like, I just remember leaving and saying to, first of all, I like almost passed Deanna out because I was like trying to ask questions. Well, because I was, and she finally goes, could you just like maybe not ask those questions? And she's like ghost white. And I'm like, oh, sorry, is that bothering you? Because I'm like, are you down to periosteum? Are you underneath the, what prevents you from
oh, while she's getting
the
injected?
Artery there?
Oh,
and Deanna's
right.
like, maybe could you just like write the questions and save them for the end? And I'm like, I guess I could.
Oh, it was D who said stop asking the questions?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
yeah,
it was
yeah.
this lady.
No, it was
no.
me.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we went in and there was like this nice little consult and then we got stabbed like 9 million times.
Wait,
and
was
then,
it like a buddy system you guys go in together?
Yeah.
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 We did our, yeah, we booked yeah. our appointment.
That's the best way to do
100%.
It.
Yeah.
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People tell us all the time that they wish we had a treatment room that was like a hair salon. Mm-hmm. So we're going to actually do this at some point. We're going to have like beds set up. And then if you're just doing a quick Botox, I mean, most of our patients are friends or know each other. Even today, they're like, hey, you go here. I go here.
Like so excited to see each other.
They're like, it's like a sleepover. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. But they're like, we don't care if people know. So like you'll have an option to go into a private treatment room. But the rest of the time, it's just like a huge party. And half the time we're calling each other into each other's room to consult anyway. So I'm like, this is a cool idea.
I love mm-hmm. it.
You get your hair cut. You get your nails done. You get your Botox mm-hmm. all in one room and it's a big party.
Fun.
Super fun.
Super yeah. fun.
My guy friends are going to love it.
Sweet.
Yeah,
wait.
Are we talking about scrotox?
I know, we're getting to
scrotox
we're
is going to have to be in a private room, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah we're
you can't
getting
have your genitalia
it.
All flapping all around. Okay? But we left this room and I remember there was a big long mirror and I said, it looks like we got, I was still numb. It looks like we got run over by trains. We don't look good. And we were botched, like,
we're swollen, like real swollen.
Swollen,
bruised.
Crazy looking.
Yeah.
Where are the pictures?
I know, I was gonna
oh,
say,
I've
are
got
there pictures.
Pictures
from this trip?
I'm so glad you said that because literally Deanna is the queen of pictures.
I've like, never seen these pictures.
She'll show me. And I've gotten progressively better with my aesthetic injections, I think.
That's great.
There was one picture of Deanna.
I don't know what happened.
I literally lost my shit. I go, I did that to you? She's like, yeah. I'm like, you never sent me this? She's like, I knew that you it was like you would quit. It was bad.
It's
she
real
was like,
funny.
I can't even do it because you did
well,
my
she,
video. So good,
she but. Wasn't that worried about it or else she would have.
No. I mean, I was kind of like. We had been doing this for a few years at this point. So, like, I knew there was light at the end of the tunnel. This wasn't, like, the first.
I saw it, and I go, and you still talk to me? I'm like.
But after, like, a few days, it
was a
fireball beautiful.
Offense.
You just got to get through them. Yeah. But I was a bad patient. I did not follow the instructions.
Okay.
It was, like, a gorgeous day outside. I went and laid out in the sun. I was sweating. I was hot. You're probably not supposed to do that after.
Which is shocking to me because you are usually like such a rule follower. So
I know. But when the sun is out in Syracuse.
It was the rebel phase.
Very rare.
You embrace it.
That's yeah.
True, actually,
yeah.
Days.
That moment.
Yeah.
True.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we leave all looking jacked up.
Yeah.
And then,
but it was fun.
It was a lot of fun.
We did 48 hours. We went to Dublin. We drove across the Irish countryside on the wrong side of the road, just the
Galloway.
Yep.
Wide that, left.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what we say? Wide right?
I don't even know.
We probably know. Would die if we went there now.
Yeah.
Nah.
Then
wait,
we
was
flew
this
over
pre
to
or
the UK.
Post Frozen Faces?
Pre. We did a pre. Yeah.
Yeah, because remember I was worried she wasn't going to inject me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fucked up. And all of that would have been cheaper than going somewhere stateside.
Yeah, and then we had to dissolve most of it, and
we got a beautiful trip out of it. Yeah, and memories. 100%.
I mean, we'll never forget that. And we definitely learned a lot about each other that trip.
Yeah, it was great.
That we can travel with each other. There are very few people that I can travel with. Mm. And like, well, you're the only one I haven't. But you two, I definitely can travel with and like not kill you. So
I literally perfect. Just had this conversation with one of my friends.
He was you like, have friends?
Surprisingly, yes. Oh, I do. Surprisingly. Few, but we were talking about it. We're like, we've never traveled together. That's like the next level of friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, if you kind of take that step.
Yeah, because there are a lot of habits that people have, and like to be able to tolerate those and to like be able to stay in the same space with someone like Deanna and I tested her. Okay, like I don't mind clutter, but germs kill me. Like the dishes can't stay in the sink because then I got to touch them. I got to put the gloves on because the bacteria, I can like see the little coming out, like mites. No.
You got to be the same way with bacteria, aren't you? No?
No.
I'm more of a terrain kind of girl.
Yeah. Okay. She literally like, no, we were like the exact opposite. So I'm like, this is gross. And she's like, I mean, it's going to strengthen our immune system. It's like natural. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Like I can see the bugs like in on me. Right. Like, and I'm
they're
like,
crawling into.
Just recently we went to Root to Rise. Shout out to those girls. They're fantastic. Love them. If you haven't listened to Truthfully Tracy, Tracy Dando's new podcast just launched. We were her second episode. Mm-hmm. It was so nice that she had us on. The show.
She's got the best voice.
She does.
God, she's so she's calming. Beautiful.
She's yeah. kind. She's, mm-hmm. yeah, she's you.
She's got it going on.
Like
she's got she's it going goals. On.
Mm-hmm. But we went to Root to Rise and we stayed overnight.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
I go. Deanna's in the room next door. She's like, yeah, is everything okay? I'm like, no, everything is not okay. I'm going to need you to come with me. No, you would think it was a spider, but I thought it was a bed bug. And I'm like, I found this, you know? And I'm like, I'm going to need you to come with me. We're still unsure.
Mind you, we were at a 120-acre wilderness retreat.
Yeah.
And Stacy's upset that there's a bug.
Mm-hmm. We know this. You Stacey? Have to save her.
Okay.
You have to save her.
Okay. Here she is calling me out. Here's the thing. It wasn't just that it was a bug.
Okay.
It was that it could potentially be a bed bug.
And then crawl into your body.
So here's the
lay
thing.
Eggs.
Here's research. The thing. It was going to lay eggs in my suitcase.
Yeah, heard it.
And then it was going to get in into suitcase? My things. I was going go to bring that in. Them. I was going to have an infestation. I was going to need to burn my house down. Boom, 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 boom. Deanna, I need you. She's
what
like,
did it,
okay.
Turn out to be like an unpopular.
We don't even know. I'll send you the picture. I'll send you the picture. It was an actual legitimate bug.
It looked like a bed bug. I'll give Stacey that credit.
Thank
However,
you.
It was like 10 times the size of what a bed
was. Was it a cockroach?
It was an engorged bed bug. It had been feeding on someone.
One.
Okay, I'm grossed out now.
Anyway, Deanna goes, okay. And I'm like, okay, like, what do we do about this? She's like, well, did you check the mattress? Like, she's very logical.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like,
let's look for more.
I'm like,
well,
no.
You're logical
like,
too until
no,
it gets
no,
to.
No, I'm burning my house down.
True. At that point.
At that point.
Yeah.
It's like when I knocked my head on the laser and I'm like, goodbye, Jenna.
Subdural.
Please tell everybody,
easily.
Get all the stuff that you want ahead of time because I'll be gone tomorrow. She's like, what? I'm like, subdural hematoma.
I'm go grab your neuro stuff. Do
did
an
you,
exam.
Did you instinctively like, okay. start itching?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kind of actually feeling itchy.
She
right
was
itchy.
To be fair, I think you text me and was like, I'm feeling kind of itchy now too.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, I'm rubbing off on her.
Yeah.
But she handled it like a pro. She's like, well, we're just going to get rid of this and
let's look for more.
And she helped me scour the room. Everything looked fine. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't sleep at all that night.
Just a handful of cockroaches. Mm-hmm. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm. And I slept like this. They were like, how was your morning?
Because they'll never find you if you sleep like that.
It's very true.
They can't get in the nooks and crannies. I'm like,
so I'm assuming fun. You've never been like camping.
Oh yeah, I love camping.
You do.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
What about like the mosquitoes?
Love it. In fact, my dad could not believe that my cousin, we call her Tequila, could not believe that Amy got me to go camping. Tequila got me to go. Yeah. And I like love it. And it it became like an annual thing. Mm-hmm. And it like tense, like, but then I tried to do like weird shit at the beginning. Like I tried to remember the leech story. Like there were leeches on me and I'm like, but you have a huge one on you with the flashlight. And she's like, yeah, honey, if you could just like put the light back so I could get them off you, then I'll get that one. And I'm like, that one's eating you alive. And she's like, okay, put the light back on so I can get them off of you. And I'm like, But like these random things kept happening camping. And I tried to bring like a shiwi and they said, no, you can't bring that here. Like, put that back.
What the hell is a shiwi?
You don't know what a shiwi is?
Is it like a kind of dog or something?
No. Okay, a shiwi, for those of you that don't know, is a little silicone thing that you like hold to your vaginal
to
area.
To go to the bathroom?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Amy was like making me weird.
Can I ask you to pull up one that's made of like silicone?
For the low price of $6.49,
you'll
get four.
If you're going to put that near your private parts.
I mean, I can't even... Like the fact that I was doing this, right?
I feel like if you used one of those things, you'd pass out, just like knowing you. So if it goes anywhere near there, you just pass out.
So I'm like,
finding her passed out with a shiwi.
Oh my God, there's shiwis everywhere.
Damn, shiwi got her again.
And she pissed
herself. Amy comes, she's like, what is this? And I go, oh, that's my shiwi. She's like, has it been used? I'm like, no, I can't figure it out. Like, there's like pieces to put it together. I'm like, I'm afraid it's just going to like backfire and like I'm going to pee all over myself. And she's like, can you just like be a normal person? And I'm like, no, no. So I don't do the bugs. If I see a snake, I will scream. If there's a spider that's larger than like this and it's not a daddy long legs, like you're on your own. I'm gone and you figure it out yourself.
Is it because you know that daddy long legs can't bite you?
Yeah.
That's why.
And so I love them. I feel safe about them.
But they're the most poisonous. So if they do get a hold of you, forget it.
Their mouth, it's not physically
possible. It can't. Yeah. Their mouth is so tiny.
You never know. You never know.
Great. Now I'm afraid of daddy long legs too. Okay. This is awesome. Guys, we've gotten way off track. So let's on here. So Jenna and I have been guinea pigs for each other. No regrets, really.
No.
In fact, I would love for you to do more aesthetic treatments on me, but we just don't have enough like time. Show the people. I show the camera. Mm. I want you guys to go back and look at some of the clips from like our last podcast because my tox hadn't kicked in. And now it has, and I just feel like a new human. And people kept complimenting me today on my skin and like,
looks great.
Like, you look great. And I'm like, she doesn't need it because she gets it.
Sure.
Like, you know, and I think that that's like a myth that like people think, oh, well, people don't need it. And like, even at the beginning, people were like, you don't need aesthetic treatments. I'm like, I get aesthetic treatments. That's why I don't need it.
Right.
But also like, it's just to preserve kind of the aging process, like mm-hmm. age gracefully. Yeah. If we have the technology, why not use it?
Highlight yeah. what you've got.
So
that's good.
Have you ever tried any aesthetics, Dr. Khan?
Have I ever tried? No, I have not. Have I thought about it? Yes, 100%.
Really?
Why have you not?
And what have you thought about aesthetics wise, like Botox, PRP, laser?
So I think
Scrotox.
Definitely that. You know,
penile enhancement.
I'm okay there. But
almost ginger ale out my nose.
I wanted to see it.
Yeah, that was really good.
But I think for a lot of my guy friends, it's like especially as we're starting to get into like our late 30s, 40s and all that stuff, it's the thing that we deal with is like hair loss, mm-hmm. you know? And I think for guys, that's like a touchy issue. So it's like, you know, 15 years ago, I'm dating myself, but 15 years ago when I graduated from...
He's actually 108 years old.
And no aesthetics. No,
wow. But,
15 years ago, I graduated from medical school and I was the best man for my buddy's wedding. So, you know, I was like kind of the MC. I was giving all these speeches. So like I was hanging out with him. He's like, hey, let's watch the wedding speech. I was like, yeah, let's do it. And I couldn't even recognize myself. Like my hairline was like 2 inches forward. I had like a whole bunch of hair and I was like, wow, I missed that guy.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, like I've you know, that's something I've definitely considered. I know a lot of my friends have. We've done research about going to Turkey to get our hair.
Have you thought of going overseas?
I'm not going to go to the UK, apparently. No. But
overseas to Fulton. We have something for that.
We do. Okay. We have actually, we can talk about it. We have a laser now that actually is a non-ablative laser that actually creates these tiny heat points in the scalp that actually create a thermal injury that then feeds the follicle, and we're seeing great results with it.
It's really phenomenal.
I had this one friend, she had some hair loss that was unknown of etiology. It still is. I'm still trying to get her to get blood work at your office. If you hear this, get your blood work done.
We'll hook you up.
Shout out to my girl, I was gonna say, but get your blood work done. And she like has seen significant growth, and I think it's like changed the way she feels about her 100%. Whole aesthetic, because she was like, my hair was like my best feature. And then have you guys noticed like a difference after COVID with hair loss, or more and more people having hair loss? Because that's been like, and with the weight loss craze with all the GLP-1s and the peptides.
Do you want to know the honest answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
I have noticed a increase in females talking to me about alopecia after the Oscars with Jada Pinkett Smith. Dead serious. I had like 7 patients the next day that said they had alopecia and wanted to get treatment for it.
Wow.
Because that was her reason for
awareness matters.
Awareness, yeah. Yeah. And just knowing that there's something to be done for it, right? Because a lot of people have tried like everything. You know, they've tried topicals, you know, the Rogaine, the finasteride, the Oral. Yeah, they've tried what is the, like all the supplementation, you know, like there's Nutrafol and Viviscal and like all of this stuff. And they're like, I'm just not seeing like, we were serums and massage and caps and lights and
microneedling.
And I was like, finally, I'm just going to get some extensions. I'm like over it. But now I think this laser is like really next level. And there are some new developments in aesthetic medicine where you can actually microneedle or create tiny channels and then put exosomes, which we've talked about in our last podcast, into that area to help like regenerate as long as the follicle is still working. And we're seeing great results with it.
And they're still researching more things too. Yeah,
always.
I'm excited to try it. Honestly, I wish it was available 10 years ago. You know, I feel like a lot of women like in my generation did the microblading and it's faded and it's like, it's not sustainable, right? Mm-hmm. Like, why can't we just, again, amplify what we have instead of trying to
completely recreate it or change it? Or that was a journey. I get all my aesthetics besides my injections out of state, like or country.
It's fine.
Thank you, Canada.
Oh Canada.
That's beautiful.
Hey? Thank you.
So, would you try anything else? Because I feel like most men are like, whenever we get a guy in the chair, and we have a lot of them, and most of them are like well-educated, high-power execs, like very confident, but they're like, listen, we had a few docs that were like, I'm getting older. I just want like my actual patients to not think that I'm like the old fogey. Like I want to be relevant. So I think my face matters.
Yeah.
And I still want to look myself. I don't want to look weird. I don't want to like have eyebrows that go like this. And I don't want duck lips. But like, what can you do to help me with the preventative aging, under eye stuff? Would you ever dabble?
I think I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not?
Okay. Well, you want to be our guinea pig?
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
No, so the funny thing is, when I started work, I was the youngest physician like in our practice over at Community General Hospital. Because everybody else was in their like 60s, 70s, like on their way out. And I'm the young guy, so I never had to worry about it. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, you know, as you kind of progress in your career.
The residents are coming in and they're cute.
They're so young.
Babies. I'm like, don't touch my mother. I mean, everybody's got to learn, but stay over there.
Go next door.
All the other patients.
My mom's like, this is the resident. He's really nice. I'm like,
Okay. Yeah, I'll take an attending.
Please. What is it? July 7th? That's when they come in? I think so.
Yeah.
July 1st.
Don't go to the ER that
July 1st.
Right in time for the firework accidents.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Okay, you know.
All right. So, and why do you think it is that men shy away from aesthetics?
Well, that's, you know, I think Like, I have a list of seven reasons why. Six reasons why.
Buckle up, folks. Let's hear it.
So, you know, I think men's hesitation towards aesthetics in general is, like, rooted in deeper narratives that are kind of, like, focused on masculinity, vulnerability, you know, being acceptable to engage in, like, self-care, which, like, traditionally, I guess, never happened. It's not just about Botox. It's just permission to care about yourself in general.
Sure.
So, you know, I think the seven main reasons that I could come up with.
I love that he came prepared with notes and he's like, I not only have one, I'm going to give you seven. This is what I'm talking about, people. Compassionate and competent.
Well, let's see. Go, okay. Listen to the let's seven reasons and see if it's worthwhile.
Deanna will vet them.
Yeah, please do.
I defer to Deanna.
I'm going to get into that. So my 7 points, cultural conditioning and gender norms. So, you know, men are taught to value toughness and practicality over appearance, making aesthetics feel like unmanly.
Yeah. And when they come into my pink room that looks like a unicorn exploded, they do say stuff about that. They're like, dude, if you want more guys to come here, like, maybe fix the room. And I'm like, what do you mean? You don't like the pink? Yeah. They're like, you don't like the, I go, you don't like the pink sparkle unicorn Barbies? Weird. But they sit there. But go ahead. Yes, I agree with that. I agree with that.
I do.
So two is fear of judgment or perception. And not necessarily like, you know, your wife or girlfriend. It was your guy friend. It's like, hey, I got Botox today. And it's like the reaction that you might get from your guy friends.
Well, and then they're going to tease you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or like you don't want to feel vain or insecure or whatever. So there's that. Lack of representation in marketing. You know, you never hear a, maybe he's born with it, maybe it's Maybelline, you know? Or you walk into like a...
I've got the herbs, natural botanicals.
Well, think about it. You walk into a Sephora, you walk into an Ulta, you don't see like pictures of like male influencers or anything.
They're all on the fragrance, which if you think that I did not take the Abercrombie and the fragrance like packaging and stick that up on my wall in college, you're wrong.
I didn't do that either.
No. Underdeveloped emotional language around self-care. You know, many men haven't been taught to see self-care as a healthy, empowering practice. Fear of the unnatural or losing control. You know, I think men as they age, it's like, oh, you're a silver fox or you're aging gracefully or, you know, the Cloonies of the world actually look better when they get older. So yeah. It's like you don't want to lose that sense or just look.
And then you see some of the celebrities who have gone overboard or who have been botched and you're like, oh, gosh, like Zac Efron, what happened?
Literally, who came to mind?
Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, God, what happened?
It is a shame.
Come to Syracuse, please.
Wasn't it like a motorcycle accident or something?
Yeah, it started with an accident and then jaw surgery.
And it just went
awry. So that's how he looks now?
Yeah. I think so.
That's a shame.
I don't know what's real or what's not anymore on the internet. Like, I honestly, half the time, I'm like, is this AI generated? Like, I was liking a picture the other day. I'm like, this girl's dress and wow, she's so pretty.
No.
She was AI generated.
We'll have a podcast on that.
Stay vigilant.
Stay vigilant.
You just never know.
These are really good.
So point six, financial prioritization. So it's like, you know, am I going to pay whatever, $400, $500 for a treatment or am I going to put that towards a car?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I did hit a really nice Porsche out there driving in. Oops. You don't know who that belongs to.
I got
to
go. but my point, so those are my six main points, but my point seven is that things are changing. A growing number of men are embracing aesthetics for confidence and longevity, and that's kind of reshaping the narratives.
I think definitely, you know, at the beginning, it was just a couple guys that came in because their wives made them.
Yeah.
And they love it.
And now they're like, they're staples. Like, they come in, they're like, what up, Stacey Jenna? Like, we have one guy who, shout out to him. He, like, comes in. He, like, uses my, like, little areas, his personal little tray. He, like, has his tunes. We pack him with ice. He's like, let's do this. And he's routine. Like, he's like, I can tell when I'm starting to look tired. And it gives me, you know, a boost. And he's like a busy working husband with a new son, like, you know. But
I personally, forecasting for you guys, since you know I do this a lot.
And I love it because she's always right.
I think it's the peptides that are going to draw them in. I genuinely see peptides as being like the next big thing for personal care, and they provide a lot of these benefits from the inside out. So when people start to see the changes,
yeah,
then they're in and they're willing, and maybe you can have a conversation with them.
Or the feeling of the changes too.
Yeah.
You know, just feeling less run down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the things, the peptides, so many peptides.
Yeah.
I feel twofold about this. Number one, who is responsible for us starting a wellness program at the CQ?
I don't know.
I think it's this girl. We were out to dinner and we were celebrating her, like, and she's talking about me. I'm like, okay, please say less. And she's like, I just like am confused why you haven't like gotten into this yet. And I was like, well, and I gave her this list of reasons and she poo-pooed every single one. I did say poo-poo.
Poo-poo.
Poo-pooed every single one. And she was like, I don't think that's a problem. And then she's like, let me send you this. I don't think that's a problem. Let me send you this. And she's like, okay, and why is that a problem? And I'm like, I don't know. I just felt weird about it. And she's like, don't. I'm like, all right. So within a week or two.
You listened and watched and read all of the things I sent you.
100%. I was listening to podcasts that you had sent me. I was reading research articles. I was figuring out how peptides are actually like created in a lab, which is like crazy. Mm-hmm. It's like 3D printing molecules is nuts to me. And like the fact that you can like tweak little nuances of that and change certain things, but that one little change can make such a huge difference.
And positively or negatively.
Here we go with apoptosis again. No, I mean, but it's just, you know, wild to me. And so I was like, wow. Like, then we signed up for a course. We took the course together. We started talking to other providers who had already initiated programs like this. And within 2 weeks, pretty much, we had already vetted a few different compounding pharmacies, yeah, and we're trying to figure out how we were going to launch this safely, effectively,
yeah,
making sure that our patients were going to be okay. And I called Dee, I'm like, thank you. She's like, you're welcome. And now we've had it for over a year. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And the life changing, like you're saying, I mean, just look at me. Like when I gained all that weight, I was like a shell of my person for a while, you know, like, I just felt like, oh, this must be why I'm single. And now I'm skinny, guys. Why am I still single? That was what I was blaming it all on. I'm like, oh, they don't want the fatty.
Back to the drawing board.
You know, like now I'm like, maybe it's my personality.
Don't change.
I know. Mm-hmm. I'm never going Please to now, change. Right? I'm not going to. I'm single because I don't settle.
Yeah. Okay.
Boom. Boom. Mic drop. But I think that it made such a difference in how I presented myself to the world and how I felt about things and like my confidence. And now like we're able to give that back to our patients, mm-hmm, in a safe way. We've had no complications, knock on all the wood. We've done it in a correct way. People have weaned off it and been able to like, you know, manage their weight loss.
Right.
It's led to new lifestyle modifications. And literally, you can see them now starting to do other things. So my second point of this is you will be very excited to hear. I'm trying to get Deanna to come work with us and be like our wellness manager.
Please come.
Please come. We need you. And, she, you know, just on top of her 9 million other things, it's not a big deal.
You've only been there for 12 years.
You help us.
You don't need to be there.
Duh. I think incorporating a package into this, because now all these people are losing hair because they like, you know, have rapidly their skin laxity has changed. They're, you know, having other aesthetic things, having a follow up with them afterwards to let them know, like now, because we have a ton of guys on the peptide, mm-hmm, but like, hey, now that you're here, congratulations. And like, these are what things are available to you. You don't have to do them. Like, it's great if you don't want to, but like, this is what's available from an aesthetic realm, because I think a lot of guys just don't know.
They don't know.
100%. Yeah. A lot of it is education, exposure, mm-hmm, you know, all that stuff. So I think being educated about it and knowing what's out there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't, mm-hmm, they consider it?
And I mean, if we're big on like we give a discount, we do a lot of things to make it cost effective because we do truly want to make a difference. But I think, you know, letting them know that there are things that we can do that will actually increase this even more for you, this confidence?
Well, I think that's where your IV program comes into play, right? Because, like, why are we losing hair? There has to be some nutrient depletion. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure that your cells are functioning at the highest level. So
when do you start?
I mean,
That's where the IVs are so integral, especially if you're at a point where you're in a deficit. Like, we just need to make sure your nutrition is high.
Yeah. But then, can we talk a little bit, and we might be going out of order, but I think Western medicine in general, like, has failed us in a few different ways. One, I took some classes with first year med students. I think you did as well. And we were not taught all of the labs that we have access to. You know, we're taught, like, this is the lab that you need for this. Mm-hmm. Now, Deanna has educated me on this, okay? But this wasn't something I learned in med school. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden she'd be like, well, do you know what the CYP2520 charger is? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I think I'm smart.
Very smart.
Not when I'm talking to Deanna. Okay. So she's like, oh, well, I've been seeing a functional medicine doctor. And then, like, she's opened this whole nother world for me. And I think this is something that, you know, I'm interested to hear your viewpoint on, because obviously you can't test everyone for everything. Lab testing can be very expensive. A lot of people don't have access to the actual tests. A lot of people don't have the finances to do that. A lot of people don't have the means to even treat if something comes back. And we're talking about, like, fine-tuning certain organ systems. But I think I've been misled a little bit as a provider. Like, now I'm looking into the water, the ingredients that the U.S. like has had from when we were kids to now, mm-hmm. The heavy metal, the molds, the, you know, everything that's kind of going on. So that's why I wanted to bring you guys on and see, what is your standpoint on, you know, testing, first of all, and, like, obviously we have to do the basics and we do these things because they're the majority of the population is affected by high cholesterol and diabetes. And, you know, we do this routine testing, but there's a whole nother world out there. So I don't know who wants to start it, but
if I follow her, I'm going to look stupid.
So you start.
So I think, you know, part of it is just getting people in. You know, people don't even come to the doctor, yeah. Especially if you're young, right? Because you don't have a lot going on. You feel like you're healthy. You feel almost invincible.
That was my mom. She's like, I didn't go because nothing was wrong.
And, you know, I think medical providers are the worst when it comes to this stuff. Because, like, yeah, I'll be fine. I'll check this. I know what to look for. I know what the signs are. But just getting routine lab work done, you know, even if it's once a year, is not a bad idea. Just to know where you're at. Now,
if everything comes back normal,
then you go based on your symptoms.
Okay.
Right? Like, if I get lab work on you and everything looks normal and you're like, you know what, but I feel like this is off. Because, like, thyroid function isn't always checked as part of routine lab work. But if you're sitting here saying, hey, I'm fatigued. Here in, you know, upstate New York, we get a lot of vitamin D deficiency. That's not always checked.
Right.
A lot of mineral deficiencies, we don't check it. So, you know, that's where I think it's important to have a conversation with your physician and say, hey, these are my symptoms. And I know we'll kind of talk about that, the difference between an informed patient and a difficult patient. You know, a difficult patient is the one who comes in with demands. An informed patient comes in, say, hey, listen, these are the symptoms I've been feeling. This is what I'm thinking. This is what I've done to kind of change that. Where do I go from here?
That was one of his questions here, folks, was the informed versus, because Deanna coming into your practice saying, hey, I would like these tests performed because I've done a gallbladder cleanse. I've done these supplements. I know that these labs are normal, but these are my symptoms. And this is my experience with other things. She's informed. She's educated. She is not trying to just dictate this healthcare, but she's looking for somebody to be an ally with her in this journey.
And I think,
how do you handle that when there's a patient that comes in and they're like, I would like a chest x-ray. And you're like, this is not Burger King.
So a lot of it is you can handle in one of two ways. If you come in with an informed patient who knows how they're feeling or what they want, you can either be intimidated and, like, lash out and be like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. No, we're not going to do that. Or you can work with the patient. And I think they appreciate if you work with them. If you have that discussion with them and say, hey, look, this is why I think we should order this test. This is why not. Because I learn from my patients all the time. You know, there's tests that even I don't
know. So you don't think you know everything?
I don't. Only in arguments I say that kind of stuff. But
slow clap.
No, I don't.
We always say the day we think we know everything is the day we quit. Because I think that's great that you said that.
I learned from NPs. I learned from medical students, you know.
But not everyone's like you.
Maybe not, but they should be. Because, you know, if you did know everything. That's why.
You're awesome. Good job.
No, honestly, and I'll get into it, but I've learned a lot from Dee. Honestly, she puts me in my place. One of the few people who has during my medical career.
God, she's good at it, isn't she?
She is.
She does it without making you feel like a total piece of crap, which is like incredible. She does it like, hey, have you thought about this? But also then you're like, oh, I'm wrong. Huh. She just did that eloquently.
That's why I felt like crap, because I realized my practice was incorrect. And, you know, that's what she kind of taught me. But it's having that conversation with your patient and willing to work with them, because I think healthcare should be collaborative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think it's very like antiquated if I sit there and say, I'm the doctor, you're going to listen to what I say. This is what I prescribe for you. These are the treatments. These are the medications. Take it and get back to me. I don't think that's good medicine.
Yeah. We find that in aesthetics all the time. Yeah. And I think this is an important conversation, because if you have something internally going on that is, you know, wearing you down and making you tired and making you fatigued and making you so you're not working out and you're not being healthy, your aesthetics aren't going to look good either. People like come in all the time and they're like, I know you're going to say like my under eye treatment, but like I'm just like exhausted. And I'm like, we don't look our best selves when we're not taking care of ourselves and when we have something going on. Mm-hmm. So I think this is wild that like,
it's a full picture, like yeah. The whole picture.
So I think that's why it's also important when you go to see your physician to be open about your symptoms. You know, people get scared. They don't want to share information because they're worried what they might find. Mm-hmm. But your doctor is not going to know, or your provider is not going to know what's going on with you or what to look for if you don't share that, whatever, you know, the details might be.
So it doesn't offend you when someone comes in and says, hey, I want to discuss this and this and this.
I would say the patients that I have like the closest kind of working relationship with are people who do share that stuff. And I do appreciate it, because I can't help you if I don't know what's going on with you.
Right.
If you show up and you're like, yep, I'm fine. Nothing going on. It's like, all right, fine. We'll do our thing and I'll see you in a year, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's important for sure.
Super important. He works at a family practice, guys. Deanna, I know you have a lot to say about this.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I'm about to be scared.
Every point you were talking about, I'm like, oh, I could talk about this or I could talk about that. I think it's important to know that every person has like an origin story, right? So you have your origin story. I also come from a conventional medical background. I've worked in the industry for so long, and I also had like similar sentiments to you of like, you respect doctors, you know, they're very knowledgeable, they can help you. But what happens when they don't? What happens when it fails?
Yeah.
Then what? And it's hard when you go through something like so challenging, and you have to learn to be like a fierce advocate for yourself, mm-hmm. for your family. And
for patients too.
Like for other patients yeah. as well, you know. I think it's so refreshing to hear you talk about being open and working like in a partnership with your patients and recognizing that you might not know everything. I also have my primary care doctor is in your overall practice. I love her. She doesn't know everything, but she's the first one to listen to me. So I just genuinely think the doctors in your practice are doing it right, if I'm being honest with you.
I like to say it's because of me, yeah. but...
Probably I mean, a big
portion. I mean, I switched my mom from a family practice that is local because they did not listen and they did not care. And she called me. She was having some symptoms. She was like, can you just write me a script for this? And I'm like, listen, sure, it's in my scope of practice to do that for you. You're a patient at our practice. Mm-hmm. I could write you that script. It's within my legal realm. However, you've had this a couple times now, and I would like to know why you're getting this. So sure, I can fix it, but why are you getting this? I want to know why, and I want to prevent it from happening. Yep. So I really need you to go in and get some testing. So she called, and they were like, first of all, we can't see you today. That was one of the first things your practice said to me. Well, sometimes we don't get out of here because we try to see everyone if they call that day. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's incredible. Mm-hmm. And I think that I was annoyed with the fact that when she finally got someone, they were like, well, we'll do a telemed and we'll do it in a couple days. I'm like, by that time, she could be in the hospital.
Yeah.
You have no idea. Definitely. Like, she could be really sick.
And it's not appropriate. It wasn't appropriate.
And it wasn't appropriate care.
Yeah.
Because I'm telemedicine her right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I can telemed her and call her in something. That is not the problem. I actually need her to be physically seen and some testing to be done. And I said, call them, get your records, you're done. And she was like, when did you become the mother? And I said, I'm not kidding. I'm like, you're done. I have already made some phone calls and we've gotten you into another practice and get your records, you're done. And she was like, but I like him. I don't care. That's great. He's a great guy. Great doctor to talk to about your personal stuff, but not your medicine. Like, this is not good care.
Well,
so,
good on you for vouching for her too. Because again, like, you know, I know, you know, with my dad, he gets worried about stuff. He doesn't want to kind of bring up stuff again because he's afraid of what they might find. But I mean, he has that discussion with me. And if I tell him, listen, you should get this looked into.
Yeah.
He'll do it. So sometimes you need to be that advocate for your friends and family because you are in the position where you can do something.
And it is scary, I think. My mom has had some incidental findings on things, but those incidental findings have saved her life. Mm-hmm. And the preventative care, sometimes she's like, I don't want to be a burden or I don't want to be, you know, a nuisance if I'm reaching out all the time. And I'm like, actually, if you do the preventative, we can avoid the huge disasters, you know what I mean? Well, some of the time.
I think a big point too that I wanted to call out is like, what happens when all of the testing comes back normal? This first line testing, right? And the system fails us because that's what insurance dictates as a first line.
Yeah.
You know? And so yeah. There is that part of,
and then where do you
medicine.
Even go? I said to Deanna, where do I go? Because I'm like, now I'm reading all this stuff. I have heavy metal toxicity. My gallbladder is full of sludge. I need a colonic. I need more supplements. My mitochondria aren't functioning. I'm like, and I'm on this rampage now. I'm asking for a reverse osmosis system. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, I go down this dark, dark spiral of like, oh God, everything I've done my whole life and known my whole life is wrong. And now I have parasites, you know, like, and all that stuff's probably true now.
Honestly, there's probably some truth to everything that you just said, right? But again, we have this system that doesn't highlight true natural medicine, preventative care, things that you could do to remove any root cause from ever occurring in the first place.
Do you guys think that's because this is a very time consuming process and with the workload that the docs have? I mean, that's why my profession was created. But I feel like when I worked in family practice for the short stint, it was such a high volume of patients and you're seeing them so quickly. There's not a lot of time to delve into this stuff with your patient. How do we fix that? Like, I think, you know, that's just a vicious cycle.
I think, I mean, the downside of it is, depending on what your motives are, a lot of it is financially driven too. And it's not necessarily because I think physicians or practitioners are greedy. It's, you know, you work in an office, you have staff that you need to pay their salaries and everything like that. So it's like, okay. You know, I got to make sure I see this many patients in a day. And when you're doing that, when you're kind of only limiting patient encounters to 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you're only setting aside a certain period of time, you don't really get into the weeds when it comes to a lot of that stuff. So if, you know, patients don't bring it up, I'm like, all right, everything's okay. See you in 3 months, see you in 6 months or whatever. And I don't think that's necessarily a good way to practice medicine. Unfortunately, it's just kind of the way it is. I'd love to be able to see just like 12 patients a day and devote an hour to each patient and, you know, kind of go into every last detail.
But insurance would be like, not today.
That's the elephant in the room though, right? Mm-hmm. Like the issue is the middleman. We have someone dictating what patient care looks like.
Who does not know medicine.
Correct. Who are so far removed from that patient in front of them and what's going on with them that we don't have time. Our providers don't have time.
I had a patient come in today.
Yeah.
And she's a friend of mine who works as a... She's an NP for a hematology oncology practice. Mm-hmm. And knowing that I was going to come on the podcast, I asked her, I was like, what's your biggest frustration with the medical system? And she said, knowing what is best for my patient and having to go through the whole authorization process. And she's dealing with cancer patients. She's like, we have oncologists. We're talking to people at Sloan Kettering who say, this is the treatment you need to put the person on. And we go to their insurance and they say, no, we're not going to cover it.
Until you fail this, this, this. And time is money. Like,
not to mention, like with cancer patients, you're exposing their body to toxins. Like these aren't like simple medications. These are literally poisons that are killing cells in your body. So you want to risk exposing them to other toxins before
giving them the correct treatment that we know is their in their best interest.
Because the insurance company says this is more expensive. Like, I don't, that's very frustrating for me.
Yeah.
For all of us, for sure.
Yeah.
It happens with derm all the time, too.
Yeah.
With the
we need them on something and they're like, oh, no, that's not covered. But you could try liquid nitrogen and this and that. And the, like, we're like, we're no.
Yeah. But I have to say there's another way, though.
Tell us.
Ooh.
There is another way. Tell us. You know, and I probably navigated like every realm of alternative medicine, like being so stuck in conventional and not agreeing with the way that it's practiced. I've turned and run completely away from it, right? Gone deep into natural medicine, alternative medicines, and not necessarily found 100% success there. I feel like now my favorite spot is somewhere in the middle.
Combination.
A bridge between 100%. Both worlds. Modern problems need modern solutions.
And right? We have the evidence, clinical-based studies, most of the time. She's doing that because some of them are fudged, you know, and you really have to know what you're reading and who's it funded by and what the purpose is and how big the study is and who was studied and what was the follow-up and what was the time frame. Like, and that's hard to, like, actually do, to sit down and look at clinical studies like that. As providers, a lot of people don't. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do what the reps say or what everybody else has kind of followed suit. We found that in aesthetics, we were doing things just because somebody told us.
Right.
And then finally one day we were like, wait, why are we doing that? Like, no, seriously, why are we doing that? And then we'd be like, okay, well, let's look into that. And then we're like, it's changed the way we practice.
Yeah.
And I think in aesthetics, the same thing, people are uncomfortable if they're in an aesthetic provider's office. We hear all the time, I didn't want to go through with it. I felt awkward. I didn't want to have this treatment. I didn't think it was going to be right for me. But they were the expert. And
they were already in the chair.
I felt I don't like confrontation. I felt awkward and I wasn't going to get up and leave. And I'm like, you need to be your own advocate for this. Same thing with this, right? Like, don't you agree that these patients need to, but in a polite, eloquent, informed, respectful way?
Yeah, I think it's important to call out that you are in private medicine for the most part, right? So to me, that has been where I have found the most success, is when providers can bridge that gap into private care. And then they can see me for an hour or 2 hours at a time to really dive in to the cutting edge testing that has to get paid out of pocket and then reimbursed, and you play the insurance game. Mm-hmm. But, I've done the out-of-network stuff with my insurance. Two-thirds of it gets covered, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, you are paying a little bit more up front, but all at the end of the day, my problems are actually being solved.
I love to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're putting in a lot of your time to do that as well.
Again.
And a lot of people don't know how to do that, which I think is so inspiring because, I mean, here I am. I consider myself pretty intelligent and we've had conversations about certain organ systems and things. I do try to keep up to date on some of the literature, like just to keep my skills. I've been in surgery. I've been in urgent care. I've been in emergency medicine. I've been in family medicine and now aesthetics, and I'm lost. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, where do I even start with this? Mm-hmm. Like, tell people a little bit about like the process and like, do you have anything set up at your practice? Do you have people that you refer to, you know?
Yeah. So I think integrative care is really the discipline that you're looking for. You're looking someone that is going to look at your body as a whole system and start compartmentalizing body parts, like our medical system is set up to be, because a problem in one area is not just a problem in one area. It is systemic. Mm-hmm. It is rooted in a primary reason. And there is science there to explain, test for, and figure out exactly what's going on.
Right.
I have to be very thankful. Again, that PCP that I mentioned, the first time I reached out to a naturopath was because she told me. Mm-hmm. And she was so good to say, I don't know about this enough, but some of my patients have worked with this provider and they've had some success. Like, maybe you should start there. Just planting the seed, just having the humility, just being able to refer to someone, it's all patients need.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's powerful.
I find that a lot of my friends who are DO physicians do this more than MDs. MDs are more, and I'm an MD, you know, so I'm kind of putting my people on
blast.
Different
way of doing things. But, just a different way of doing things.
You know, osteopathic doctors kind of look at the body as a whole. And I can tell you right now, like with the naturopathic stuff, I don't know enough. So that's usually when I don't know enough. That's what we get. That's when I would refer. And there's no reason why you shouldn't. I mean, taking a natural approach to the body, why wouldn't you want to do that? You know?
Right. And we're even finding in aesthetic medicine, like treating aesthetics can help with mental health. Like there's, that's been studied now. And I mean, I think we've proven that time and time again. People are like, thanks for giving me my life back. And I'm like, I gave you some Botox and some filler, but they're like, I wasn't leaving my house, you know, because I had this birth defect. I wasn't leaving my house because I had this accident and I had Bell's palsy and I felt like I looked like a monster. And like the actual like mental status when you're not feeling well or no one's listening to you. We have patients that are like, I went to my primary and they were like, your labs are fine and nobody's listening. Deanna has personal experiences where she went and people were like, nope, you're fine. And then after a deep dive or talking to the right provider, Deanna was not fine, you know, and has been through a lot of health stuff. So I think that's, you just got to find, like you were saying, everybody does things differently and you just got to find the right fit for you. So if this is something that people are interested in and like, this is new to me, so I'm starting, I've done some of the spiritual stuff. Like I've, you know, gotten in touch with like meditation and actually like looking at what I can do in my life to take out some of the stress that's adding to like hormones and cortisol and all of these things. But then on top of that, now I'm like, okay, well now I need to go a step further because my labs are normal by my primary, you know, they're normal. Mm-hmm. So, but I'm like, no, they're
what
not.
What is normal?
What is normal, right?
And your normal might be different than my normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And with a very sickly population, they say normal is what 80% of the population falls into. But when those people themselves aren't well,
right,
are those really quality values?
Right.
I mean, the best way I could describe it is like a normal heart rate is like 60 to 80 or 60 to 100. But there's people with heart rates in the 50s that are... that's comfortable for them. So if their heart rate's 70, they feel like they're having palpitations.
Right.
So it's like, you know, knowing everybody's body is unique. And that's where you really have to kind of share your symptoms with your physician and hope that they're the type of person who would work collaboratively with you. If you know that something's not right.
And if you know, not, you have their daughter call and say, you're done. Send your records.
So I don't mean to sound morbid, but one of the things that used to always scare me in the hospital was when I would walk into a patient's room one morning and they'd be like, you know what? Something's not right. I feel like I'm going to die today. And you look at them, you're like, wait, your blood pressure's fine.
Impending sense of doom.
I was just thinking that.
People know when something's not right with their body. Like I remember, you know, unfortunately, my mom, she passed away from breast cancer, from metastatic breast cancer. And
sorry for your loss.
Thank you. But I remember I came home from a rotation. I was doing my OB rotation. Came to visit my parents for the weekend. And she's sitting in the living room and she tells me, she's like, come sit next to me. I was like, yeah, okay. Sit down next to her and she just starts crying. And I was like, what's going on, Mom? She's like, if anything ever happens to me, make sure you take care of your dad, take care of your sisters. I was like, Mom, what are you talking about? This is ridiculous. And she had been clean with breast cancer for 2.5 years. I was like, what are you talking about? Nothing's wrong. She's like, I'm just telling you right now if anything happens to me. And 12 days later, she was gone. Because then we found out that she had like, you know, metastatic breast cancer that was kind of eating away at inside. And, you know, she went to her doctor, did all the tests and it all happened. But it's like you have a person who's like cleaning the house, cooking, doing her thing. And then
taking care of everybody else.
Yeah. 12 days later, she's gone. So anytime a patient says to me, I don't feel right, I don't take that lightly, you know?
I think that's a huge lesson. And like, I hope our listeners like can actually put that into practice, because it's easier said than done. It's uncomfortable after we've been conditioned and trained to not argue with your provider or not bring up things, or you know, you've had a bad experience with a provider before. It's uncomfortable to have those hard conversations. And I think if your provider, whether it be in aesthetics, whether it be, you know, somebody that you're working with in your hospital system, is not listening, find somebody who will listen.
I think that's the thing. Like, let me tie the dots. I feel like we've talked a lot about hypothetical scenarios, mm-hmm. about how integrative health can help. But I think one of the big points that connected Ali and me when we first met was that my father also died of metastatic cancer. And crippling very quickly, very similar circumstances. I went to my primary care provider after that and I said, what can I do as a 25-year-old woman? What can I do? Right. I have a lot of prevalence of this in my family. How can I prevent this from happening to me? And after going through, well, we can do screenings and we could do this and we could do that, there was really no concrete. It was a pay attention to your body and let me know if something changes, you know? Last month, I had a Galleri test done. So there's a new diagnostic blood test. They ship you the container to your home and you bring it to Quest. Quest draws your blood and they look for circulating tumor cells, and they can find cancer, of dozens of different types of cancers, before it's even stage one.
Have you ever heard of this?
I have not.
And we're providers that stay up to date. Have you heard of this?
Yeah.
He's like, I wrote the reason why I know
is one of my patients brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, they had a strong family of colon, or a strong family history of colon cancer, and brought up the testing, and I looked into it and I was like, yeah, this is a thing.
Legit.
I mean, I see it a lot with, like, you know, my female patients who are trying to get pregnant or stuff like that, where they want to test, or they might be adopted. They don't know what their family history is. So they kind of do like gene testing for that purpose.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I was made aware of it, but it's not part of routine testing. Like, I would never order that for a patient for like their yearly physical, you know, it's like something they brought up.
And now you have that in your arsenal though. So we always talk a little bit about, we're only as good as the training and experiences that we've had. Right. So if I didn't read the study, and that's why I think collaboration is so valuable in the healthcare system. If I don't know, she might. If she doesn't know, you might, but you might. And if we're all working together, that's why community over competition is really a huge thing. And I think we all grow and become better providers, better people, better patient advocates when we are working together like this and not thinking that our way is the only way or the best way.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like I have to bring this up. It's just like, you and Deanna have an origin story. We do too. Like, I had the privilege of working with her in the hospital all these years.
And I was like, do you guys want to be on the podcast? And they were like, yeah. And then they were like, wait, we know each other. I'm like, this is wild, but okay.
And I was like, no. And then she's like, well, Deanna's going to be on. And I was like, yeah. No, but.
Okay.
So I have a lot of respect for her. I worked with her, you know, obviously as a colleague all these years. And, you know, COVID was a very strange time for all of us. There's a lot of misinformation that was going around, I would say, from the medical community and outside. There's a lot of bullying about what you should do, what you shouldn't do, and I was guilty of that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of my colleagues, you know, it was fashionable to put up the hashtags on your social media saying, get vaccinated, don't be stupid, you know, save your family, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And I was guilty of that. And, you know, I would post it on my story all the time, and then she messaged me and she's like, hey, you know, I just want to let you know I'm not going to get vaccinated. I was like, how can you be so freaking stupid? Like, you work in the hospital, you see it every day. How could you not want to get vaccinated? And she presented me with all this information.
Yep.
And opened up my perspective in a way that's like, wow, you know, like,
these are valid.
I didn't even think about it, because you just always assume that people who don't want to do what the medical community says is the norm are uninformed, uneducated, don't know any better. And I have somebody that I respect sitting here and saying, these are the reasons why I don't want to get vaccinated. I had no reason to argue with her.
And now, after that whole thing has, you know, come to fruition, if you will, now we're finding out, like, oh yeah, maybe we all shouldn't have jumped on that train so quickly.
And I was sharing with her, there was a tweet that was going around at the time where it was like, you know, if you're the type of person who's refusing the vaccination, you shouldn't be taking up a hospital bed if you get infected with COVID. We shouldn't we shouldn't treat people who refuse to be vaccinated because, you know, they're on one hand saying they don't want to do what's medically recommended. On the other hand, they'll come in and get treated. So I retweeted that. I was like, oh, yeah, I think I'm cool. I'm going to do this. And my buddy, Dr. Khaleesi, he's a pulmonary critical care doctor now. He messaged me. He's like, this is not right. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you should never be spreading this kind of information because it's basically you're violating your oath as a physician. You treat whatever comes in front of you. You don't treat based on
Their religious beliefs are or what their or any personal of that. Beliefs are.
You don't have to agree with it.
Right.
You know, we were talking about it. It's like you counsel your patients and say, okay, you know, you shouldn't. If you have obesity or if you have elevated blood pressure, you shouldn't be eating these kind of foods. If they continue to do it and they have a complication, you don't say to them,
my recommendations, so you're on your own.
So I think those two things, obviously our conversations that we had and all that, really changed the way I approached my conversation with my patients.
Yeah.
In more ways than one. Like now if I have a patient that comes in talking about naturopathic medicine or alternative medicine, I don't just dismiss it. I want to have that conversation because if nothing else, it's going to keep me informed.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
That is important. Guys, I think we've hit almost all the things. Is there anything on here or do you have anything in your fancy notes over there? I think maybe we just go through like the top three easy wellness habits that
what wellness is?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think that's a really important thing to define. Like,
yeah.
What is wellness?
Okay. Yeah. Deanna, what is wellness?
Yeah, Deanna, what is wellness?
Please tell us.
I feel like we spent a lot of time today talking about the physical, right? The cellular, what's happening as a body system. But I think a lot of times we forget to mention that we are multidimensional beings and we have a mental, spiritual, emotional side that sometimes our society like doesn't allow us to recognize or express. And so to me, wellness truly encompasses like all realms of your being, who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
I mean, you were just talking about it at the beginning of the podcast, like, you know, you're supposed to be tough and manly and you're not supposed to feel things. And you're supposed to be a woman in medicine. So you need to be fierce and this, and you can't show weakness because they'll eat you alive. Mm-hmm. And like we talk about all of this and like we're burnt out sometimes and we're like, but yet we still go through our day and do all the
robots.
Things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like at what just point do we say, hey, we need to take care of ourselves because if we don't, we're not going to be able to give the best care possible to everyone else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes being an advocate, sometimes being fierce, sometimes doing things that are against the norm. I think that was huge that you said, like, I did something, I reflected on it, and I changed the way I do things now. Like, that's huge. That's personal growth. And most people don't do that. Yeah. As a person, as a physician, as a provider, like, they just, yeah. You got to do that. Like, I mean, every time a situation goes awry, and let me tell you, I got a lot of them, I'm like, how did I contribute to that? Right. What could I have done differently? Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that again. I sometimes do. And then I call Deanna and I'm like, you're in charge of my life decisions. But I just feel like, you know, we do need to take care of each other and of ourselves because you can't be the best mom. You can't be the best mom. We can't be great providers and work in these systems that are broken, that we're frustrated with if we're not taking care of ourselves first. Yeah. And I mean, you've had like a huge, tremendous medical journey. Mm-hmm. It's taught everybody so much, but it's inspiring to other people. I mean, you have three providers here, and I want to hear more of what you have to say, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I just love that I surround myself with these people who are so authentic and so just themselves that they have the ability to have these tough conversations with each other, mm-hmm. because it's not easy sometimes to receive differing opinions or different information. Like it's a hard conversation to have, but at the core of it, connection is really what's important.
Yeah.
Right.
And sometimes we're viewed as mean or bitchy or, mm-hmm. you know, standoffish or intimidating, mm-hmm. or these things. But I mean, anytime you told me something, I would think about it and say, you're absolutely right. And I'm sorry that I did that. I did not mean or intend to make you feel that way, or you know what I mean?
I'm laughing because my husband is probably going to roll in his, like, that everyone just told me how much I was right all the time. And yeah, yeah. He's not going to appreciate it.
Alex, leave her alone.
She is right all the time.
But I think another thing is, you know, if you, you know, don't know something, you say that.
Yeah,
you don't pretend. You don't make shit up. Mm-hmm. You say to me, you know what? I actually haven't read much about that. I could get back to you on that. Or, you know what? Let's research that together. Or let's come up with a plan and we'll like look into that.
Yeah.
You don't.
The thing is, providers, we need to do that.
Sure. Yeah. But a lot Rather of people just like, yeah, no, don't do that.
No.
Don't do that.
I think, honestly, there should be people in schools, nurse practitioner school, PA school, they should talk about that more. I mean, really, that should be the big picture. It's not.
Big time.
It's really not. Or even like what we hear about on the news. Nobody's talking about that other part.
No.
And that's what people, that's what my parents were looking at, listening to every single day during COVID. Mm-hmm. And that was what was real to them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So I like your definition of wellness.
I do too.
Is there anything else that you guys want to add before we wrap up?
Should we give our wellness tips?
Yeah. You wanted to give the three? Yeah. I'm dying to hear them because I'm like,
well, I think someone else should go first.
It's like when somebody tells me you're like when Tracy on her podcast said like you have one thing to leave the audience with.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one? No, I have so many things that I want to say. And she's like, no, I'm going to choose one. So I can't wait to hear your three.
You know, it's funny. If you had asked me this question a year ago, I would have been like, wear your Aura ring and track the data and make sure your scores are high, right? And I would have said, right? All of us, right? Or I would have said, like, get a sauna, make sure you're in there 3 to 5 times a week. You know, like that, those were very solid practices.
Yeah.
But I think, like, truly go outside first thing in the morning and get some sunlight in your eyes and put your bare feet on the ground. And talk to God for a little bit.
Interesting.
You could do all three things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is going to provide you more wellness than any biohacking that you could possibly invest in.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Dude, how do I follow that up? Come on.
I told you you should have gone
first. We'll just wrap it up. So, no.
Talk do you to have God, three? Are you kidding me?
Do you have three? You're not going to beat that. So I'm not even going to give you mine.
I was going to say.
Drink water.
That's literally what I was going to say.
Lemon.
Hydrate and eat well.
Yeah.
That's one bundle.
Yeah. That's
Point
important.
One. Two, prioritize sleep.
Okay.
And three, stay active.
I think all those are reasonable.
Foundational.
And you're staying active as you go outside. You're going to hydrate when you come back in after your conversation with God. And then you're going to, what was your other one?
Eat prioritize well. Sleep.
Oh, prioritize sleep.
You sleep at night at the end of the day.
Yeah, then waking you go outside in the morning. Yeah, it's fine. So whether you're pro-peptide or just pro-water intake, wellness is yours to claim. So start where you are. Don't be afraid to get stabbed or jabbed along the way if it makes you feel better and worry about what people are thinking. You can follow us at the Cosmetic Queens podcast or on social media. Stay tuned for more insider tea and feeling like royalty.
Cut to commercial.